Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870. Mike Dettelia along with Charlie Long in studio, taking you to 7 o'clock tonight. 7 o'clock tonight will be the Jay Johnson Show right here on the Big 870. Charlie, it opened this morning. The Pelicans were an 11-point favorite over Portland. Now it's going up to 11.5.
Yeah, what's the deal with Portland? I know that they've got an interesting injury report. They were considering shutting Damian Lillard down for the season with a calf injury. But that is just, you know, we're driving the tank, Mike.
Yeah, that's what it sort of looks like to me. And, you know, we talked about this last week when you looked at the games. I don't think any of us thought they'd beat the Clippers. But we all thought this was the game. Hey, if you're going to win one, this is what it's going to be on the road against Portland.
Yeah, we were talking to David Grubb last week, and he said that if you look at this four-game road stretch, the game you expect to take is against Portland. Now, the other three games, at Los Angeles against the Clippers, at Golden State against the Warriors, and at Denver against the Nuggets, that's a little bit more up in the air. You'd be kind of happy to go maybe 1-2 in those three games, but you have to take the game against the Trailblazers, the team that you've already beaten on the road this season. But then the rest is kind of gravy. I think if they can beat this team tonight, that sets up a huge matchup against the Warriors, because then that game is basically for the sixth seed, Mike, with how the standings are working out right now.
Don't the Warriors have the best home record in the NBA?
If not, they're close. They're top three for sure.
Okay.
I'm looking at the right now, the injury status. So for Portland, Damian Lillard is out tonight. Simons, their shooting guard, is out tonight. Jeremy Grant, their small forward, is out tonight. Trenton Watford, power forward, doubtful. Cam Reddish, small forward, doubtful. So
okay, you can't wet the bed tonight.
Yeah, this is as probably clean of a win as you're going to get.
Yeah, you got to put that W up on the board. Charlie, no surprise today, but Lamar Jackson requesting a trade from the Ravens. This is the worst-kept secret around. We've been knowing this now for the last couple months, that he wants out of Baltimore and he wants a deal. I think the big question mark will be, well, two question marks. One, if a team is interested, do you wait and do this after the draft, or do you do it before? You know, a lot of people kind of looking at this where, you know what, I could keep that first-round pick this year, and if I need help as a pass rusher or an offensive lineman, I could pick one, and then I give up my two future first-round picks for Lamar. And secondly, this is going to be an owner's decision. This won't be a decision made by head coach or GM. Some owner's going to say, you know what, I'm tired of hearing it. Y'all trying to give me this stuff about Will Levis and Anthony Richardson, and I ain't buying either one. My thing is, the top two picks, we sort of know where it's going to be. Either it's going to be Stroud Young or Young Stroud. It's going to be one of the two options there. For other teams looking at quarterback position, this would seem to be a no-brainer if you can cut that right deal with Lamar. He definitely doesn't want to go back. Now, I will never say never. That old Sean Connery line about I'll never play James Bond again, and he did, so to speak. But I do believe that it's a spot where I think there'll be an owner say, I got enough of hearing it. We're going to go after Lamar, proven product. I know what I'm getting. I know he's going to have some downtime. Let's sign us a quality backup. But I'm riding him. I'm not going for the two young kids.
Right.
We're not going to win right away with them. I want to win now. And I do think that there will be some interest, or has been already, some sort of hidden interest in Lamar Jackson.
I think I've seen a couple of kind of under the radar reports that the Colts might be interested in his services. But
anything Jimmy Irsay would do wouldn't shock me.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the Colts the last, what, half decade since Andrew Luck retired,
since the injury,
it has been a carousel of quarterbacks.
They had that
in and
one
out,
run
in and out with Phillip Rivers.
With Rivers, who really played well. And I remember Rick Venturi, who does the color for the Colts. He was like, man, I was begging Phillip to come back for another year. And he's like, oh, coach, I got enough of it. And then toward the end of last season, Phillip was like, you know what? I want to play again.
Right.
I'm going to be that backup out in San Francisco. And he eventually probably would have played in that NFC championship game against the Eagles once, you know, Purdy went down with the elbow injury. So the fact that, you know, the 49ers were talking to Ben Roethlisberger, of all people, to get him out of retirement, not Rivers, who made an overture that he wanted to come back, sort of shows that maybe they felt, you know, Phillip's best days are over with. We're just going to go with what we got. But I think for the Colts, they got to make that move.
But, Mike, so this is March 27th. Right now I'm asking you this question. Look into your kind of crystal ball. Do you think Lamar stays in Baltimore and plays under the franchise tag, or do you think a team will make a trade for him?
I think a team will make a trade for him.
Okay.
Now, I'm not exactly sure if they do it before or after, because I see the pluses of doing it afterwards. I really do see the pluses of making a deal for Lamar afterwards. And we've spent so much time as a scouting department looking at different players, if it's at need positions. But I think the telltale sign is if he's still not traded for on draft night, what teams like Indianapolis would do in round one?
Yeah, that's interesting. You know, I think it will,
because that'll tip the hand.
Because if they do take a quarterback with that fourth overall pick,
they're not gonna double dip it.
Yeah,
they're not gonna go after Lamar.
You're either getting your franchise guy in Lamar, or you're taking a chance on a franchise guy with the top four picks.
Because I think eventually the Jets will get this deal worked out with Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. I think they'll get that done. I think the Packers are being a little petty, and I don't blame them, because Aaron sort of drug them through a little bit.
Yeah,
I think the Packers are being a little bit petty with this about, oh yeah, 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 oh, we get you, we love you, and we wanted you back, and all this other stuff, but really we don't, and we're gonna kind of have you wait, like you made us wait for your decisions.
Go into the caves or wherever he was for his retreat.
Yeah, they flipped the pancake.
Darkness retreat.
On Aaron Rodgers. We'll be back with more sports talk here on the Big 870. And Saints defensive tackle Malcolm Roach will join us right after this break on the Big 870.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettelier along with Charlie Long in studio and on our Oakwood Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line. We have Malcolm Roach, who's just recently re-signed back with the New Orleans Saints. Malcolm, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
Thank you for having me.
Malcolm took a look around in free agency and decided to sign back up with the Saints. What was the main reason of coming back to New Orleans?
Just a place I was comfortable with, just being able to come back and, been with DA going on 4 years now, and then organization I feel comfortable with. I just felt like it was the right thing to do at this point.
Malcolm, man, I'm getting old in this business. I remember watching your dad play at Southern, and so this is sort of a two-part question for you. But one, your dad coached you at Madison Prep, okay? And, man, I've had guys that their dads coached them, either football, basketball, baseball. Sometimes that's not the best experience in the world because your dad thinks maybe in the back of his mind he's got to be much harder on you than he is on the other guys. You sort of become the example individual. So a little bit about that. And you leaving to go to Texas and now coming back, the change in how they looked at football at University of Texas compared to here in Louisiana. But first of all, about playing for your dad at Madison Prep.
Playing for my dad at Madison, it was great. Like I always say, because I was still at Southern Lab when he first got the job there, so he gave me the option to choose if I wanted to transfer or not. And I said, I wanted to go play for my dad. And doing that was one of the best decisions I ever made, I want to say, because he also instilled in me the ability to play other positions, because I always thought I was going to be just, defensive lineman, offensive line. He was like, man, you want to try to play linebacker? You want to try to play tight end, things like that? And, he let me, learn more about myself, how athletic I was and things like that. And, he was never really hard on me or things like that. We all were like a band of brothers, man. If he yelled at me, he pretty much yelled at everybody else, other way around. So he never was like really too hard. Well, I didn't think he was. And if he was hard, it's probably pretty much because I wanted him to push me, things like that. But it was great, man. I love playing for him.
Getting outside, you left Louisiana playing at University of Texas. The difference in how they looked at football?
Texas, just the way they support football is different. And I had to say, just with the way they fund things and everything, you go to these schools in Texas and they're like big old, mini colleges and things like that, as opposed to, in Louisiana. Our funding is not as good as theirs, but it makes us cherish the game, make us play the game because we really love it, not just because it, sometimes look nice and things like that. So I playing football in Louisiana and getting an opportunity to play in Texas did wonders for my life, I want to say.
Your versatility, because you at Texas, what you were, a stand-up outside linebacker, you played defensive end, defensive tackle. Man, they can't ask you to play too many more positions unless they're asking you to cover, But that has helped you into becoming a better NFL player.
The only thing I did was get bigger. I feel like I didn't really lose any of my athleticism, my quickness and, my first steps and things like that. My body just grew, I want to say. I became a young man, so – But, keeping that same physicality, keeping that same strength and but also being able to, you know, be a big body that you could put in different positions on the field across the D-line, you know, I feel like that's something helped me, stay around as long as I stayed around so far.
Malcolm, there's been a lot of overturn in the Saints' defensive line in the offseason. I just want to get – have you talked to Colin Saunders or Nathan Shepard, the two new defensive tackles that we added?
No, I haven't been in contact with any of them, but, you know, I know every week during the around the league, there's a D-line that goes around. You get to watch it and, you know, get to see guys from other teams. So I saw that game before, familiar with it. Two great additions, you know, especially on that inside. And, you know, can't wait to get to work with them.
Have you been in touch with your new defensive line coach in Todd Grantham?
Yeah, I talked to coach, talked to him while I was doing the free agency thing. Talked to him once he got the job. Once he got the job here, went in to sign my paperwork and stuff today, you know, talk to him today, just sit down, talk scheme, things like that, and, you know, also just get to know each other.
Over the weekend, I get a phone call from a guy that you worked with a little bit, Pete Jenkins. And so, you know.
Yeah, Coach Pete.
Yeah, Pete was like, Michael, let me tell you about Malcolm. Man, he works hard. I love a guy who works hard and is a technician. And so, you know, in the offseason, to get to work with a guy like Pete, you know, over 50 years, he's coached defensive linemen at every level, from college to the NFL. And he just was working with Will Anderson from Alabama and B.J. Ojulari and Ali Gay. But on getting to work kind of privately with a guy like Pete.
Well, you know, I first started working with Coach Pete when I was around like 10th or 11th grade.
Yes, he did tell me that. He did tell me. He was at LSU at that time, correct?
Yeah, he was at LSU, and he was training guys for the draft like A'shaun Robinson, and then I was real, real young. But I was just, you know, a young guy looking and, you know, not really knowing what he was teaching, but not knowing I was learning. But, you know, over time, I was like, man, I saw this before. Oh, this is what Coach Pete had us doing, you know, thinking back on things like that. And now being in the NFL, he has his camp every offseason I get to go to. And we get to work, man. We work twice a day, you know, pass rushing, run stopping play. So Coach Pete is he's one of the best I've ever been around before. You know, he knows how to go about his work. And, you know, I just try to be a real pro when I'm around him and try to soak up all the knowledge I can get when I'm around Big Coach.
Malcolm, to play on that same front as a guy like Cam Jordan, I mean, you know, he's an iron man. You talk about a guy, he rarely has missed any time. And at one time, I think the stat was he was playing like 92% of the snaps. You know, okay, Cam's not, yeah, he's a young man in the real world, but for the NFL, man, that's a lot of snaps he's taken of what he brings to the table, not only as a player, but also as a leader in the locker room and on the field.
Like every time I talk about Cam, I say, you know, his guys, you know, his guys that had God given talent, then his guys that God just sprinkled a little bit extra on when he made them. And Cam, one of those guys, because, you know, to play at the rate he does and, you know, going on his 13th year now and, you know, to never come out the field, you know, yeah, you got to put that up, though, with, you know, the type of stuff LeBron is doing, like, in year 20. You know, this guy never leaves the field, and he practices all the time, and he always have energy somehow, and every day he just smiling, and, you know, you can tell he's happy to be there. And there's also a guy, you know, I've been looking up to since I was a little kid, you know, since I was in high school, you know, watching him playing things. So, you know, to be on that front with him, I just say, man, it's a blessing for me, you know, a dream come true. And, you know, just to see his work ethic, you know, see it up close, you know, every day, you know, see the way he is with his family, you know, the type of man he is and things like that. I couldn't ask for a better role model, you know, to get to experience it, you know, the way he goes about his work, man, it's great. It's a sight to see, I should say.
Malcolm, it seems like the Saints really kind of pride themselves on finding those quote-unquote diamonds in the rough as undrafted free agents. You being an undrafted free agent in 2020, now you're going into your fourth season, you got the new contract. Talk about the chip on your shoulder coming out of that draft class and then also wanting to prove the team right.
You know, it's something I had to say, that's something I think about daily, you know, every day when I'm getting ready to work out, something I think about where I started at, where I could be at, you know, the type of mindset I got to get in to, you know, keep going to where I'm trying to go to. So just thinking about, you know, I'll still tell myself, you know, I was an eighth round draft pick, you know, was undrafted free agent. And, you know, I know that's something that sticks with me because that's something that'll never go away. And, you know, I was fortunate enough to get to earn another contract. But that's still something I think about every day because I know the work it took to get here, you know, the type of places I had to take my mind to and, you know, think about those things to, you know, just keep that chip on my shoulder. Because, you know, I haven't accomplished everything I wanted to accomplish yet personally. And just, you know, keep that chip on my shoulder, keep going. And, you know, and also seeing the people I had depending on me, you know, trying to put that smile on my parents' face, trying to put that smile on all my people from Louisiana's face, you know, when they see me play, that's something I'm big on. So, you know, keep that chip on my shoulder and I can't go wrong, I feel like.
Malcolm, I've done a bunch of camps with your old coach, Ryan Nielsen, and he would always talk about, man, you know, one thing I stress all the time is technique and use your length. Use your length. You know, got them all long arms, you got to use it. And how much, you know, people don't get how technical the NFL game is from a technique standpoint, that's really what separates the guys that make it in this league and the guys that don't. Because, okay, at one time or another, you might have been bigger or faster or stronger than your opponent. Man, and everybody in the NFL, they're every bit as good athletically. And so you've got to take control sort of technique-wise and using your length to get around people to make plays.
You know, Coach Nielsen, he's probably one of the biggest technicians. You know, he did wonders for my game just in the technical aspect, you know, things just in, you know, we could have a shoulder-to-shoulder two-gap placement, and I might be shoulder-bicep, and I'm like, Coach, I just got my hands right. He's like, no, because the one time your hand's not right is the one time they can hit it for 80 yards, you know, things like that. So just stressing that technique over and over. I feel like that's one of the things that, you know, kept me where I'm at so far, you know, just pride myself and, you know, trying my hardest to be a technician and things like that. Because when I'm out there, I know I'm not the biggest guy on the field. I also know I'm not the smallest, but I also know the one thing that could separate me, you know, from the guys that are bigger than me is my technique. You know, it's the way I'm attacking this block. It's the force I'm about to come with on what side of his body, you know, with my hands hitting and my eyes and things like that. So he's done wonders for my game, you know, just teaching me the technique of how to really play the defensive line position. Him and Coach Pete, you know, did wonders night and day, I want to say.
Malcolm, your comfortability with Dennis Allen, as I kind of mentioned earlier in the interview, with all the new additions along the interior defensive line, do you expect to have an enhanced role this upcoming season?
Like I say, I don't, you know, I'm not in DA's head, but, you know, if that, I could see my role enhanced, you know, me being, you know, one of the few that rolled over interior-wise, you know, just because I've been there, you know, just being able to teach guys things the way we do things, you know, and I do it the way we do things in New Orleans, things like that. And, you know, I'm also, you know, getting older, you know, going on my fourth year. So I think overall I have a, you know, kind of a leadership role and, you know, just, you know, showing guys, you know, how we do things, the way we work and, you know, the way to come to work and the way to be a pro, things like that.
Malcolm, you're going to have to introduce yourself to the new starting quarterbacks in the NFC South because, okay, the Bucks.
There's a couple of them.
Yeah, the Bucks are bringing, you know, they got Baker Mayfield coming in, or it'll be Kyle Trask, Carolina. Hey, you know, they're going to have a rookie quarterback in Atlanta. We'll see, you know, if it's going to be Desmond Ridder or not, or Taylor Heineke, one of those guys. But it's amazing how all the quarterbacks in the NFC South are going to be changed from one year to the next. I mean, that to me is really tells you something about the game, how it's a commuter world when the potential is with Derek Carr here, you're going to have four new starting quarterbacks in the NFC South.
Yeah. You know, that just shows you, you know, that kind of gets into the, you know, the business side of things. You know, I like to say the NFL is like, you know, two different sides, you know, the football side and the business side. You know, these organizations got to find a way to keep the organization going, you know, get it caused, you know, a lot of turnover, things like that. So potentially we probably are going to have, you know, four new starting quarterbacks in our division. And three of them. I can't wait to meet them, you know.
And one of them might be Dalton, is the guy that you played last was on your team a year ago.
Might get a chance to put some hands on Andy, you know. We don't know yet.
when you think about it, and you got a couple young guys on this team, Carl Grandison, I think, really showed up big last year, especially late in the year. I mean, he really came through, and he told us the story about, you know, I wasn't recruited. I was a 172-pound guy coming out of high school. There wasn't a lot of teams with their hands raised up to recruit a 172-pound defensive end. And, you know, with Peyton Turner, the situation there, when he's played well, but he's had a lot of downtime. Your thoughts on helping with those guys understand the game a little bit better, because it is a jump. I don't care what people say, it's a jump from college to the NFL.
I think, you know, that jump from the NFL to college, yes, it's a jump on the field, but it really becomes you gotta learn how to start living your life. You know, in college we get to go home and, you know, your roommate is right next to you, or your teammate is down the hall from you. You know, like now when you go home, it's probably you and, you know, that iPad, and you got to watch film, and, you know, it's all, you got to find some food to eat, things like that. So I feel like it always takes about one to two years to adjust. You know, I think it took me I really started to come into my own with it last year, you know, getting used to, you know, actually being a real professional, you know, learning how to take care of your body, learning like, man, I need a massage, things like that. So, because, you know, without my body, I can't go. And like I said earlier, the best ability is availability.
That's right.
You know, keeping that body right, you know. But at a young age, you know, those guys come in at 20, 21 years old. You know, they not thinking that too. So you need a guy to show them around. You know, I had older guys like Malcolm Brown and Sheldon Rankin to show me around the thing. So I'll be there, you know, teach them how to take care of your body, how to invest in it, because it'll pay off for you. I promise it'll pay off for you.
Malcolm, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Coach Pete wanted me to tell you hello. He knew you were going to be on with me this evening, so he wanted me to tell you hello. And, man, wish you the best, and glad to see you back with the Saints.
No, I appreciate y'all. And tell Coach Pete I'll be in Dallas with him soon to get that work in.
All right, I'll tell him. Thank you, Malcolm. That was Malcolm Roach, who just re-signed back with the New Orleans Saints. We'll be back with more sports talk here on the Big 870.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettelia along with Charlie Long in studio. Again, want to thank Malcolm Roach for joining us just a few minutes back. And at 6:20 tonight, we'll have former college basketball coach and now analyst for Believe Network, Scott Spadelli, will be on with us. Scott's one of our top guests we have, does an unbelievable job. And he brought up Miami of Florida a couple weeks back of, if you're looking for a possible sleeper team, it's the Hurricanes. Sure enough, they get into the Final Four. Charlie, this is sort of your time of year, college basketball coming to an end, but you're a big baseball fan, and I know them Astros defending that title and everything else, so we'll hear that up until October up on that. But you were telling me that one team you really like to make a move this year, and that's the Baltimore Orioles.
Yeah, no, we talked a little bit about this off-air, Mike. One of those teams, because baseball is never – it's kind of like football where – actually, not really, because footballs, there's more overturn. But there's always a couple teams that surprise. Last year, it was the Mariners.
Mariners
kind of came out of nowhere and make the AL playoffs. This year, if you're looking for one of those teams that can kind of sneak up on people, I think it's going to be the Orioles. The Orioles are a team that won 80 games last year. Their current win projection is like 78.5 or something like that. So I guess the books expect them to get worse, but they're adding a Rookie of the Year candidate in Gunnar Henderson, and then another top prospect, like the top prospect in baseball, and then another top prospect in Grayson Rodriguez, a pitcher. But then they also got Adley Rutschman that's getting better. Felix Bautista is a legit closer. The one kind of question mark is their starting pitching. But I think that this is a team, if you want to pick one of those kind of underdog stories to make a playoff push, maybe win 80-plus games, I think Baltimore's a pretty good pick.
Look at the Astros pitching staff. You feel good with it entering the season.
Yeah, I mean, losing Verlander always
Verlander
hurts.
Verlander, man.
Yeah.
He is what he is, man.
If there were any team to lose him and still be fine, it'd probably be like the Astros, because they have two kind of bona fide aces with Framber Valdez and Christian Javier. But then outside of that, they got two solid guys with Luis Garcia and Jose Urquidy. And then behind that, you got the young guy in Hunter Brown that's, you know, people love in the organization, that this guy, and he had some playing time last year, but he has the potential to be like the next kind of Justin Verlander type of pitcher. So
we talked a little bit about it earlier in the show, but man, Dylan Cruz, and I have a friend of mine who scouts baseball out west, and he was like, man, I got to watch the doubleheader Saturday with LSU.
He's a special, special player.
He's like, Mike, I've seen some pretty good guys come out of that LSU program. He might be the best in a bunch from a hitting standpoint and how he plays. And he's such a technician hitting the ball. He's a really terrific eye-hand coordination, but it's his ability to swing the bat. And he said he adjusts so well to different pitches. We might be talking about the first overall pick in the draft.
Undoubtedly. I mean, the LSU might have the top two picks in this upcoming draft with him and Skeens if they keep going.
It just depends on what that team is looking for.
Well, yeah, I guess so. I mean, the top overall pick, the Pirates have. Yeah. They did a lottery this time around. I'd need to double-check who the second overall pick is. But, I mean, the Pirates are going to take Dylan Cruz with the number one overall pick.
I don't think there's any question about that.
Cruz has been unreal this year, Mike. I mean, he came in with such high expectations, but he just keeps kind of breaking them. Like, he leads the SEC with a .531 batting average. He's also number one in the league in on-base percentage at .658. Slugging percentage at .988. Base hits with 43 and run score with 46. This past week, he won co-SEC Player of the Week. He hit .625, which was 10 of 16 in four games. He had a home run in every single one of those games, 9 RBI and 9 runs scored. I mean,
you can pitch around him.
You can't.
Because you know who's
Tommy White's right
Tommy
behind
White,
him.
You know, Tommy Tanks is right behind him.
Yeah.
And he's another guy. And if you watch some of the games on the ESPN Plus, they kind of broke down in slow motion how he hits the ball. And he's similar to Dylan in that, you know, he sort of adjusts how he stands, how he hits the ball a little bit differently, and he adjusts to each pitcher that's put in there. So, okay, you're not getting around them one way or another. And, man, Dylan Cruz and Tommy Tanks have been unbelievable for LSU in the heart of that lineup. If you're trying to get out of there, you're in big trouble.
It's kind of funny because I think the last time that Dylan Cruz won SEC Player of the Week, he had a similar type of week where he hit over 600.
And who he shared it with.
And he won co-SEC Player of the Week. And we were thinking, wow, this other guy must have had a ridiculous week too. Yeah. That other guy is probably going to be the number one overall pick next year in 2024. Jack Caglione, the catcher for Florida, who, you know, I think of that one week that we're thinking of the first time that they both won co-SEC Player of the Week, he hit like 7 home runs in 3 or 4 games or something like that. And you're thinking, okay, well, that kind of makes sense. This week he was right there with Cruz. He had like a .611 batting average in however many games that they played. So, I mean, Cruz, who is awesome, Caglione was right there with him, unfortunately. So it wasn't a solo player of the week. It was a co-player of the week in the SEC.
You know, you and I were talking about this off the air about how LSU doesn't play Florida.
Yeah, they play all 6 SEC West opponents, but out of the 4 SEC East opponents, they play Georgia, they play Kentucky, they play South Carolina, and they play Tennessee. They don't play Florida. So,
yeah, kind of a little bit of a quirk in the schedule that because of the rotation.
They also don't play Vanderbilt. I'm just
Vanderbilt
that.
Also.
Yeah,
I
Vanderbilt
was gonna
another
say
top
that.
5 team. That's totally slipped my mind.
And so no Florida, no Vanderbilt. Unless you play them later on, you might see them a little bit down in the series somewhere if once you advance. But no Florida or Vandy on the regular season schedule for the Tigers. So
that works out pretty well for them.
Yeah, and I'm sure Vandy and Florida ain't complaining about not playing LSU.
I don't think they are either.
So we'll be back with more sports talk here on the Big 870 right after this break. We're finishing up here in hour number two of sports talk on the Big 870. We're going to go to our Oakwood Heart Jewelers talk and text line. We're going to go to Menard in Baton Rouge. Menard, you're in the huddle with Mike and Charlie.
Good evening, gentlemen. Mike, I got a question for you. It's a draft question.
Okay.
I'm curious, and I don't know where you stand for sure. And you may have said this yourself, but a lot of people seem to be, and I'm hearing, the Saints, they need to go with a defensive tackle in the first round. And my question is, if you've been so bad about picking a certain position so many times, why would you want to spend another first-round pick on a chance at that position if you could get more of a no-brainer like a top tight end or a top linebacker at number 28?
Okay, when's the last time the Saints picked a defensive tackle early?
Well, they had – well, now I'm going to say defensive lineman. But
okay.
We can go
– yeah, yeah. Because it's Sheldon Rankins was the last interior guy they spent that early round selection on. So, man, I just look at it. I want the best guy that can fit what I do. I don't care what position. I think they filled some of those slots, but you can't tell me this team can't use another tight end. You can't tell me that they don't need help across the offensive line. Can't tell me they don't need another edge rusher. Okay, so
they
you got
a linebacker.
I think they'll get some depth, probably veteran wise, but I think they'll pick one a little bit later on. But I think for me, if it's close, the Greeks settled this years ago. If I got a chance to pick a really talented big man or a really talented smaller dude, I'm going with the big guy. So it'll be offensive, defensive lineman, or if you consider a tight end, because you got to block. They got to find somebody that can set the edge better as a run blocking and a pass protector tight end. So if that's Darnell Washington from Georgia or Michael Mayer, if he lasts that long with Notre Dame. But, Menard, I'm all about I want value. I've spent way too much money on setting up a board to say I got to pick a specific spot because you know what? That's when you get burned. When you just signal out, I need a defensive tackle so bad that I'm willing to look away from my board. It doesn't matter how I picked before. I got to change that up if we've missed, but I got to go with that board.
Yeah. Mike, who in your opinion is the best interior defensive lineman the Saints have ever had?
Probably Glover. Leroy Glover would be in that conversation, right?
Oh, okay. Mine would be Jim Wilkes.
Jimmy,
I remember how
Jimmy was good. No question. Man, Jimmy could play that 3-4 nose tackle spot, was so good at it. He was consistent, played the run great. He was never a great pass rusher, but he'd blow that inside pocket up. So, man, Jim Wilkes. Leroy Glover was a totally different player. We'll be back with more sports talk here on the Big 870 right after this news break.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.